You don't see the world as it is. You see the world as you are. The way you interpret your world and the people in it gives you a lot of information about yourself. I'm your host, Tina Gosney, a family relationship coach, and this is the Coaching Your Family Relationships podcast, where you will learn how to think, feel, and do differently in the ways you show up in the relationship with yourself, so that you can begin to break unhealthy relationship patterns in your family. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm excited to have you here. Welcome back if you're a return listener, and welcome if you're a first-time listener. Last week, I introduced Brené Brown's Wholehearted Parenting Manifesto, and I'm offering it as a free download just for a few weeks. The link is in the show notes. It's available for a limited time. So if this is something that you are wanting, you can go and grab it. Today, I'm talking about the fear that parents have when their child leaves the church. And if this is you, if you're really afraid, if this is something that you're finding yourself, a situation you're finding yourself in, you need this manifesto. There is so little that you have control over, but you do have control over you, right? This manifesto helps you to see where that focus should lie. Sometimes it's hard to know, am I doing the right thing? Am I putting the right focus in the right areas? I love how she outlines the different places that we can put our focus and how we can show up as a different parent with our children. I think if you haven't read the manifesto before, which I don't think a lot of people have, it took me a while to find it on her website. You're going to be surprised at some of the things that she says there. And if you're not familiar with Brené Brown, you're going to be even more surprised at what she says. If you are familiar with her work, you're probably not going to be super surprised about what she has in it. But I think it will still be super helpful for you to have everything put in one place and just be able to look at it and see it. I've had this manifesto hanging in my office this year, and I have used it so many times to just remind myself the direction that I'm headed. So go to the link in the show notes and get that download. Get it now while you can. Let's talk about the fear that you are experiencing because your child has left the church. You know, you probably already know that we are pack animals. We have this very basic need to belong, to be safe, and to have a tribe, and to be connected with other people, especially the close people in our lives, which usually entails our family, right? When your child leaves the church, it feels very dangerous and unsafe. And you get scared. It makes sense that you're feeling fear. You get scared for them and what this means about your family, especially when the LDS Church focuses so much on families and following the covenant path so that we don't have any empty chairs. This is something that we've heard for a long time. And so that fear is going to show up. It makes sense that it's showing up. And fear can mask itself. You might not realize that you're feeling afraid, but maybe you feel one of these different emotions. Maybe you're really worried. Maybe you have a lot of anxiety. Maybe you're angry about some things. Maybe you get very defensive. Maybe you have some judgment of yourself or others. And it all ties back to this circumstance of your child has left the church. So sometimes fear will mask itself as one of those other emotions. I like to share personal examples on this podcast. I think it's really helpful. Or sometimes I'll share, if I have permission, I will share an experience from one of my clients. But this week I thought I would put ChatGPT to the test and see how good of an example AI could come up with for me. And it's pretty good. So this is about a woman named Elaine. And actually, this story could have been written by one of my clients. It could have been like, this is a really typical experience, especially the first part. And I've had many clients who have had similar experiences. So here's the story that ChatGPT came up with for this podcast today. Elaine had always been a devout member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, commonly known as the LDS Church. She had raised her three children, Sarah, Jacob, and Emily, in the faith, teaching them the principles and values she held dear. For years, their family had been tightly woven into the fabric of their local LDS congregation, attending Sunday services, participating in church events, and engaging in regular temple visits. However, as her children grew older, they started to explore their own beliefs and identities. It began with Jacob, the eldest, who expressed doubts about some of the church's teachings. Despite Elaine's best efforts to address his concerns, he eventually decided to leave the church. Emily, the middle child, soon followed suit, and Sarah, the youngest, was also showing signs of questioning her faith. Elaine's heart ached with worry. She couldn't help but think about the eternal consequences her children might face for leaving the church. She feared for their spiritual well-being and the potential alienation they might experience from their devout LDS community. Her fear turned into a heavy burden she carried daily. In the early mornings, before the sun had even begun to rise, Elaine would kneel by her bedside and pray fervently for her children to return to the faith. Tears streamed down her face as she pleaded with Heavenly Father to guide them back to the church. She felt like she was in a race against time to save their souls. During the day, Elaine couldn't help but engage in subtle acts of persuasion. She'd leave books about the LDS faith, the Book of Mormon, church magazine articles strategically placed around the house, hoping that her children might stumble on them and be reminded of the church's teachings. She would often engage them in discussions about their spiritual journey, gently encouraging them to share their doubts or fears. But her fears sometimes got the best of her. She found herself arguing with her children, her voice shaking with emotion, as she implored them to reconsider their decisions. She attended LDS support groups for parents who were dealing with children leaving the church, hoping to find solace and guidance from others who understood her pain. As the weeks turned into months, Elaine's fears began to take a toll on her own well-being. She lost weight, she had trouble sleeping, and her once vibrant smile began to fade. She was consumed by the fear of losing her children, both in this life and in the next. Okay, that's the first half of the story. How many of you could see yourself in Elaine's story? How many of you have lived some or all of those details? Didn't ChatGPT do a good job? I thought it did a pretty good job because I've talked to people that have such similar experiences as this. And I belong to several Facebook groups that are specifically geared towards parents with children that have left the church. And I see the same thing happening in there. People describe the same thing happening. Parents are very afraid for their children and for their families. Fear is probably one of the most prevalent emotions that we see in these groups. Sadness and anger are up there too, but fear is one of the main ones. And it's so interesting what fear makes us do. Let's just talk about fear for a minute and what fear can cause us to do. What is it doing in our body and how does it come about even in this situation? You know, your body is constantly monitoring your environment. It's constantly looking at everything outside of you to see if you are safe. That's one of your body's jobs. It's your nervous system's job. It's a super useful job of our nervous system because we need to be aware of things that can harm us. Because sometimes there are things that can actually harm us. We need to be aware of them. It's a really good job that this nervous system does for us. And this response is written in our DNA. We inherited this from our ancient ancestors. They lived in a much more dangerous world than we do, but our brains don't know this. We don't have tigers and lions and bears living right around the corner from us that are waiting to attack us. But our bodies and our brains do not know this because we still have the same brain that our ancient ancestors did. And it's still out there looking for something that could kill us, seeking safety. When we interpret life's events, we are not at risk of losing our life when our child leaves the church, but our body does not know that. Our brain does not know that. It interprets that as a dangerous, harmful situation. so it sends our body into a fight, flight, or freeze response. And then when that happens, we're just being reactive to our environment, just like an animal is reactive to theirs. It's a very primitive part of our brain that has taken over. That fight, flight, freeze response is a survival response. And our body is prioritizing life-saving activities like running and fighting. What our body doesn't do is prioritize higher level thinking, rest, or good healthy digestion. Those things are just put on the back burner. So when you get really angry, have you noticed, or when you get into that type of body response, have you noticed that sometimes you get a stomach ache? Sometimes you have some digestion issues. Sometimes you can't sleep. Sometimes your body starts to shake, and sometimes you can't think of the things that you want to say. Those are all normal given the response that your body is in. When you are reacting from this fear, you are usually not able to take actions that would be productive or helpful. In fact, you're probably taking actions that are more survival oriented. And anytime you're doing that, you're not thinking relationally. Think about the scriptures. In Matthew, we hear the two greatest commandments, right? And they each directly signify a relationship. When fear takes over, all those relationships suffer. The relationship with God, the relationship with others, and the relationship with yourself. All of those suffer when fear takes over. So we really have to calm ourselves down and calm that fear down in order to think relationally. Because this is what happens when we react to the fear. We try to control the situation or the other person so that we can feel better. Because we think, well, if they just did what I need them to do, then I could feel better. So we end up trying to control other people. We treat the other person or the situation as if it's our enemy that we need to protect ourselves from. Like it's the villain and you're the victim. And this makes sense given that we're in this interpreting the situation as harmful and threatening our safety. Sometimes we just freeze and we don't know what to do. We just literally blank and our minds go blank and we just don't know what to do or to say and we feel frozen. We feel trapped in not knowing what to do and our brains get really fuzzy and foggy. Have you ever had that happen to you? When we are afraid, we revert back to these self-protection behaviors. And these behaviors do not promote connection with others, but it's because we're consumed with safety and security. And we want to bring our children into that safety and security, right? Of course we want to bring them in, because that is what a parent does, is we make sure that our children are safe and secure. But none of those things, when we're reacting from fear, none of those things promote a healthy relationship because we are not thinking relationally. Now think about what fear feels like in your body. Just close your eyes for a minute. Try to remember the last time you felt afraid. Go into your body and not in your brain, not the thoughts that were causing the fear, not the thoughts that your brain was spinning around in when you were feeling afraid, but really feel it in your body in a physical way. Drop down into your body. Where did you feel that? And what did it feel like? Use as many descriptive words as you can. That feeling in your body is a chemical vibration in your bloodstream. That chemical vibration was released by your brain because of the way that you're thinking about what you see happening. But that emotion, that chemical vibration, causes you to take certain actions. And a lot of these actions are the ones that I've outlined today. Maybe you've seen yourself do one that I didn't outline. And yeah, I didn't go through all of them. I went through the main ones. But just think about what actions that fear causes you to take. Because our emotions drive our actions. We react according to how we are feeling. So if this is a natural body response, that our body is interpreting this as a dangerous situation, and our body just naturally does this, what can we do about it? Well, first of all, We have to just know that this is what is happening. We have to know that this is what our brain and our body are doing. And see that it's interpreting this situation as dangerous, and that we're needing to prioritize our safety and survival and our children's safety and survival. Now, if your brain is telling you that safety is only found within the church, it makes sense that your body would be reacting to your children leaving as something that is unsafe. Just normalize that. Like, there is nothing wrong with the way that your body is responding to the things that you see happening. Because doesn't it make sense that if you believe that the only safety is found inside the membership of the church, that you would be responding the way that you are? Even though it might make sense to you that that's the way your body is reacting, it doesn't change the response that your body is having and what that feeling is causing you to do. But the knowledge that this is why it's happening and it makes sense that this is happening is super powerful. Now, when we know what's happening and we realize that it makes sense the way that we're feeling and responding, then we can start to do something about it. So find some ways that will help you to bring down that fight, flight, freeze response. An easy one that I like to start my clients off with is to slow down their breathing. Because when we get in this response in our bodies, our breathing gets really shallow and usually gets really rapid too. And when that happens, the oxygen is cut off from our higher brain. We don't think clearly because the oxygen, our body is rerouting it to our heart and our lungs and our legs in case we have to fight or we have to run. That's where oxygen goes, but you want the oxygen to flow back into your brain. In order to do this, you need to breathe. You need to slow that breathing down, and you're going to have to do it in a very purposeful way, intentionally slowing down, deeper breaths more into your belly than into the shallowness of your chest. Here's some takeaways for you today. Number one, you will never act rationally when you are afraid. Calm down yourself to be able to access your rational brain and think relationally. And here's number two, the anxiety you're experiencing right now will not change the future. The only thing you have is what you do right now in this moment. And that requires some mindfulness. Mindfulness is important. Mindfulness can be described as having awareness without judgment. That's awareness without judgment for yourself and awareness without judgment for your child. Both are important. Here's your challenge for today. Once every day, practice slowing your breath down. Use your nose, not your mouth. Use your nose and inhale for 4 seconds and then exhale for 4 seconds. Do this 10 times. It should only take you 2 to 3 minutes. But this helps you to calm your body, bring your awareness into the present. It might feel kind of strange at first because it's much slower than you usually breathe. But the more you practice, the better you will get. And if you consistently practice this type of breathing over time, then you will feel so much more in control of your own responses to the circumstance of life. I like to tell my clients, this type of breathing is like going to the gym. So if you just do it like once a week, you're not going to get that much benefit out of it. If you do it once every day for a week, you're not going to get that much benefit out of it. If you do it once a day for the rest of the year, you're going to start seeing some big results. It takes time for you to start letting your nervous system absorb this kind of training. It's a training for your nervous system so that when you do get in that fight, flight, freeze response, your nervous system is familiar with how to calm itself down and how to bring it back into your present awareness. But it takes time. It's a training thing. Think of it just like going to the gym, something we have to do regularly, and we have to be consistent over time with it. And I'll be offering a breathing class in October. I'm getting all the details put together now, but if you're interested in how to make this work for you, check back with me next week. I don't have the details yet, but I do want to let you know that it's coming. I'll have the class ready for registration by then. So make sure you're checking back in with the podcast or at my website because I'll have the registration ready for you next week to sign up for that breathing class. And it will just be, you know, four sessions where we work on breathing together. And I show you some different breathing techniques and show you the way that this can work for you. And we start practicing it together. Breathing is one thing we can use that can have a huge impact on how our body functions and how we feel. It is super powerful. Do you want to hear the ending of the story, the ChatGPT story, the one it created for me? No, not every parent comes to this kind of peace and acceptance, but I know that this is the direction we should all be heading. If we could let go of fear controlling our lives, then this ending may be possible. I also want to add a little side note that not every child reacts to their parents the way Elaine's child is reacting to her in the end of the story. As Jennifer Finlayson Fife mentioned in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, often our children who are leaving the church are angry. And that anger can be directed towards the parent. And that is not the case in this story. So I just want to add that little disclaimer there. So here's the end of the story. One evening, as Elaine sat in the quiet of her living room, she received a phone call from Jacob, who had moved out of the family home after leaving the church. He spoke to her gently, explaining how he had been on a spiritual journey of his own, exploring different beliefs and philosophies. He assured her that he still loved her and the family, regardless of their differences in faith. Elaine's fears did not vanish overnight, but that conversation was a turning point. She realized that her children needed her love and acceptance more than anything else. She couldn't control their beliefs or choices, but she could control how she reacted to them. She began to focus on strengthening her own faith and letting her children find their own paths. Over time, Elaine's relationship with her children improved. They still had their differences in belief, but they found common ground in their love for one another. And though her fears never completely disappeared, she learned that love, understanding, and patience were more powerful than fear when it comes to keeping her family together. Isn't that a good ending to the story? We always need a resolution for stories, right? Remember when I said that the greatest commandments have to do with the relationships we develop? Well, the ending of this story reflects that. And even though it's not about a real family, I think it's all a good direction for us to face and to try to go. Focus on the relationship. If your fear is not leading you in that direction, this is something for you to work on. No one can do that except for you. And you can start by breathing and downloading this free graphic that I have for you, Brené Brown's Wholehearted Parenting Manifesto. If you are feeling very fearful for your family, this manifesto is going to help. We need to be focused on where we are headed and create a new, beautiful future for ourselves. If we are caught up in the fears of today, that is not possible. This manifesto will help you to know what to focus on and to help you see what you have control over and point you in the direction of strengthening the relationship. Go to the show notes, download the link, and I will see you here next week.